T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
6:13 now, more humid today, highs of 84. Keep in mind, we're getting closer and closer to May. First day of Jazz Fest, first day of Zurich Classic. You'll need the sunscreen. Warm and breezy tomorrow, highs of 86. Same for Saturday, but they're saying quite windy, so be aware of that. And then 86 for a high on Sunday. But for all those outdoor activities, dry. That's the main thing, other than the humidity, which, you know, sometimes can be air you can wear, but I don't think it'll be that bad. Also, the draft today, we'll have all the coverage for you. We're going to talk to Mike Dettelier about it later on. Our draft coverage begins bright and early here, if you will, at 4 o'clock. Runs till 6, and you can join the crew over at Las Cruces, Tex-Mex, in Metairie, all here on Saints Radio, WWLAMFM.com, and the free Odyssey app. We begin with our friend Justin Buechler, an associate professor of political science at Case Western Reserve University. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Thoughts on the Trump trial so far before we delve into the presidential campaign?
Well, we've only really had one witness at this point, so it's hard to get a sense. But this is probably the least important of the trials, and it's really hard to get a sense of the legal situation of Donald Trump at this point from the least important of the trials. Remember that what's going on is basically there are a lot of legal obstacles getting the federal cases to trial because of some of the, for example, immunity claims, but the hush money payments, that's a state claim. So that was what we're able to see get to trial now. And we've had one witness, David Pecker, and that's really all we've seen. So I think it's hard to get a sense at this point.
And the Supreme Court is going to hear arguments today or rule today on the immunity claim of Donald Trump?
Yeah. So they're hearing arguments on the immunity claim because the former president's attorneys have made very broad claims about whether or not a former president has basically total immunity or partial immunity. And depending on how the Supreme Court rules, some or all of the charges may simply go away, or it simply may be dragged out so long that we wind up going past the election. And if Donald Trump were to win, he would just make all of the charges go away.
See a story here from Rolling Stone. I'll read your first couple of lines. Trump's lawyers don't expect the Supreme Court to bless his absurd immunity claims. We already pulled off the heist, says a source close to Trump. Donald Trump's inner circle doesn't expect the Supreme Court to go along with his extreme arguments about executive power in the immunity case before the justices. But what the high court does now is almost beside the point. Trump already won. And they're talking about the timing of this as it relates to the election. Your thoughts, Professor?
I think to a significant degree that's true. I mean, it's hard to predict what the Supreme Court will do, but as long as they delay everything, if Donald Trump wins the election, then pushing the cases past the election simply means he can make all the charges go away by ordering the Department of Justice to drop all the charges. So I think that a big part of the plan is just delay. So the Supreme Court pushing the ruling to the point that the trials can't happen until after the election is itself a pretty big victory for Trump.
Are these trials, indictments, all of that, is it hurting him? Is he still raising money? I know every day he has a little campaign conference as he gets out of court. I don't know what's going to happen with gag orders and all of that stuff. But it seems like he is campaigning when he gets out of court, talking about what a victim he's become, even complaining about the temperature in the courtroom. He says it's cold. That seems to be a thing that he keeps going to. If I was his advisors, I'd say, yeah, you know, you might want to stay away from that and stick to the facts at hand. But either way, does he, I don't know, is he still raising money every time he goes on TV and talks about what a victim he is?
Well, he can raise money, but it's also important to realize that once you get to the level of a presidential general election, fundraising doesn't really matter anymore. Fundraising matters for increasing visibility. So when you're looking at House races for non-incumbents and local races below that, the reason campaign money matters is because candidates need to increase their visibility, because people don't want to vote for candidates if they've never heard of candidates. So the real value of fundraising is so that candidates who have no name recognition can increase their name recognition. But there isn't a single person in this country who doesn't know who Donald Trump is. So the money that he would raise doesn't really do him any good. Once you get up to that level in politics, money doesn't really matter all that much. So whether or not he raises money is almost irrelevant. And a lot of the money that he's raising is going, in all likelihood, for his legal defense, because he doesn't want to spend his own money. So whether or not he's raising money is almost irrelevant. And campaigning is not really about going door to door and shaking hands. It's just about visibility. So whether or not it helps him to play the victim card every day is a little bit hard to say, but that's kind of always been his strategy.
And the other thing I wonder about is I see him every day come out of court and talk about what a victim he is and that he should be campaigning. I'm thinking, well, actually, you are campaigning right now by giving this press conference. And I guess the other thing I wonder about, Professor, going back to what you said about everybody knows, if you don't know who Donald Trump is, you've been in a coma, I think, even around the world or under attack if you don't know who Donald Trump is. So I got to believe that for the most part, people have made up their mind. And we can take a break here and pick it up on the other side, because I don't, maybe I'm missing something here, but about the importance of campaigning. But I don't know of anybody that hasn't already made up their mind. I guess there are some undecideds out there in key states, maybe. I don't know. And we'll talk about an endorsement that he picked up from a former cabinet member who was not a big fan of his. And then the former President Trump's acknowledgement of that was less than gracious, but typical Trump. And I'll pass all that along when we come back at 6:20. Time for traffic now on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
6:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend, Professor Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. Text comes in: Tommy, why do you not show the same contempt for Sleepy Joe as you do for Donald Trump? Well, apparently, 0810, last four digits of your phone number, you don't listen often. Because I have said repeatedly, and I'm on record, as saying they both suck, and I think it is a disgrace to this country that out of everybody that lives here, these two guys are the best that we can do for presidential timber, presidential candidates, if you will. Now, in terms of former President Trump and the way he carries himself, well, the cabinet member to which I was referring is former Attorney General Bill Barr, who had a lot of bad things to say about his former boss, President Trump, when he tried to overthrow the election, and some would opine the government on January 6th. But he did say on Fox News that he would vote for the Republican ticket, which is a backdoor endorsement of Trump, right? Well, Donald Trump responds by tweeting, "Wow, former AG Bill Barr, who let a lot of great people down by not investigating voter fraud in our country, has just endorsed me for president, despite the fact that I called him weak, slow, moving, lethargic, gutless, and lazy. Based on the fact that I greatly appreciate his wholehearted endorsement, I am removing the word lethargic from my statement. Thank you, Bill, MAGA 2024. Now, that's the kind of crass, graceless stuff that Donald Trump is known for. And maybe you like that, maybe you don't, but it doesn't hide the fact that that's what he's known for. The question I have for you, Professor, is when it comes to Bill Barr basically saying he's going to hold his nose and vote for President Trump, how representative of that is the public, who maybe like myself think that Trump is crass and classless and just a jerk? And again, Joe Biden's got his own foibles and failings, and I'm not a fan of his either, but that they're liable to hold their nose and vote for Trump. Does that indicate anything at all?
Actually, I would say it's not very indicative at all, because most people are basically partisans, and that means that most people have a net positive view of their own candidates. Now, it's not entirely positive, and one of the things that's happened is that people have shifted to thinking about party as primarily a negative view of the other party rather than a positive view of their own party. But it's hard to go through the world kind of detesting your own party, and it's going to be really hard for people to go into the polling place and cast a vote for a candidate if you really hate your own candidate. So it's much easier for voters to talk themselves into voting for a candidate if they can talk themselves into the belief that that candidate is good. So saying, I don't like this candidate, but at least this candidate is better than the other guy, is probably not representative, because it's easier for Democrats to say, actually, Joe Biden's fine, and it's easier for Republicans to say, actually, Trump is fine, than to say, well, I don't like my candidate, but the other candidate is really awful. So you'll hear that kind of reasoning in some circles, and you'll hear Bill Barr justify voting for Trump under various circumstances. But for the most part, at the ground level, when you're talking about the average partisan, the average partisan is going to have a much easier time justifying voting for their party's candidate by saying, actually, my candidate is fine.
So reading the tea leaves, that tells us what, Professor?
Well, what it tells us is that most voters don't pay very close attention to politics, and it's just much easier to rationalize your vote if you tell yourself that your own candidate is pretty good. Now, when you listen to a lot of the commentariat will have incentives to look at the candidates in different ways. But just remember that most voters are partisan. And when I say most, I mean a much higher proportion than some of the statistics you see. So in some of the really badly conducted polls, you'll see people claim that 30 or 40% of the electorate are independents. And those are the badly conducted polls, yeah, because they're not asking a follow-up question of the people who first claim to be independents. Because if you ask a follow-up question to voters who first claim to be independents, most of those voters will then admit to a leaning. And the people who first claim to be independents and then admit to a leaning actually act just like partisans. And partisans account for somewhere between 80 and 90% of the electorate. And those partisans are just going to vote a straight party ticket. And those partisans need to convince themselves that they're doing the right thing. And it's really easy to do that if you tell yourself that your party's candidate is actually a good person. People need to rationalize that they're doing good. And you need to do that by telling yourself that your candidate is a good person.
Thank you, Professor. My follow-up question when I ask people and they say they're an independent, I'll say, well, when was the last time you voted for somebody of different parties? And inevitably, they always say, well, actually, I guess I voted Republican the last 10 elections, or I voted Democrat the last 10 elections. So my research, yeah, as if you want to call it research, it definitely, you're right on. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. We'll take a break. We come back, we'll talk to Mike Strain, talk about crawfish prices and more. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.